start Maseches Erechin Daf Beis by way of introduction. What is Maseches Erechin about? Several of you have already asked that question. What is Maseches Erechin about? Maseches Erechin Be'ikr deals with being Makdish something Lebedek Habayis, designating something for the Beis HaMikdash to use for the upkeep of the temple. At the end of the Sechta, we're going to discuss the various halachos of being machrim, a person's nechasim, of designating nechasim for the Beis HaMikdash, and a person who sells houses and fields in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get into all of those issues as well. But the most important thing to know going into this Masechta is that there are two distinct parshios in the Torah that both deal with hegdish, with being makdish something, with designating money for the Beis HaMikdash. This is what we call parshas nedarim and what we call parshas erechin. Nedarim is a person, pasuk says in Vayikra Perichav Zayin, v'ish ki yakdish es beiso kodesh la'ashem ve'aricho ha'koin ben tov ben ra kasher yaricho so ha'koin ken yokum. Which essentially means if you are makdish your house or any other object that you own, other than like animals that they could use for a carbon, but regular things, your stereo, your television, your makdish, anything like that for the Beis HaMikdash, the gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, evaluates how much it's worth. And if the Beis HaMikdash has some sort of use for it, let's say it's a broom and they could use a broom to sweep with, so then they'll use it. If they have no use for it, the gizbar will sell it, and it'll use that money for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. That is Parshas Nedarim. Now, a person within that parsha, if a person says, I'm going to designate dummy, my money, my value to the Beis HaMikdash, so we evaluate what he's worth on the slave market, and you give that to the Beis HaMikdash, and that goes for the Bedek HaBayis, that goes for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. That is all Parshas Nedarim. But then there's a distinct, separate parsha called Parshas Erechin. Erechin obviously is where the name gets the Masechta. The Masechta gets its name from. Parshas Erechin is when a person doesn't say Dami Alai, I'm going to give my money, my value to the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, he says Erechi Alai, my Erech. Erech means a predetermined value that the Torah gives to each and every person based on their gender and their age. Meaning, you could put LeBron James and me right next to each other, and we might have, if we're in the same age group, even though he's obviously would be a much more valuable asset to have if you owned him than I would be if you owned me, but because he's obviously a physical specimen and I am in other ways a physical specimen, but it would still be, we would still have the same Erech, because Erech is based purely, assuming LeBron was Jewish, Erech is based purely on gender and age. That's all it's based on. Based on how old you are, and it's not based on how much the person is actually worth at all. The Torah actually goes through males, females of different ages, what their predetermined erech is. There are psukim in the Torah, in Vayikra, Perichav Zayim, psukim beis, through ches, ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha nefashos la'ashem, vaya erkecha azachar mi ben esrim shana vad ben shishim shana, vaya erkecha chamishim shekel kesef shekel ha'kodesh. Both LeBron and I are between 20 and 60 years old, and therefore our erech is chamishim shekel kesef. That's it. That's the erech. And it's my father's erech also, because he's not, I don't think he's 60 yet. So he would be the same erech as well. We would all have the same erech. Vim nekeva hi, if it's a nekeva, shloshim shekel, and it goes on. 5 years old to 20 years old is a different number. 1 month old to 5 years old is a different number. Different predetermined values that the Torah itself gives. So when I say erki alai or erech ploni alai, I'm going to give the erech of that guy. So then I have to give what his predetermined erech in the Torah is. Now, Erechin and Nedarim have a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of differences as well. This is all by way of introduction. We haven't seen any Mishnah and Gemara yet. Erechin and Nedarim have a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. Similarities, the only way you can make a Neder with either Erechin or Damim, you have to have full Das to do it. You have to have the intention to do it and have it in mind. Number two, it has to be Piv Velibo Shavim. You have to say what you're actually thinking. If you misspeak, it won't count as a designation for Agdish. Number three, you're able to be shoel on a vow. If you vowed something as either a neder or an erech, you could undo it. Number four, the money for both erech and for a neder goes for the Bedek HaBayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Number five, there's an achiyuv achrayus. You are responsible to pay from whatever assets you have for both erech and nedarim. And number six, if you don't pay, then Beis Din is allowed to take a mashkon, a collateral from you, by going into your house and taking something that has that value until you do pay. So that those are the similarities between them. However, there are several differences between Nedarim and Erechin as well. Number one, six differences. Number one, anyone can be Nidar, meaning I say I'm going to give the value of Plony, of LeBron James, let's say. Doesn't matter whether he's an adult, whether he's a baby, whether he's a male, whether he's a female, or even if he's neither, if he's a tumtum or androgynous. If I say that I'm going to give the damim, the value, his actual value, then I'm chayev to give his actual value. However, when it comes to erichin, erichin only starts when someone's 1 month old, because that's what the Torah says, and it's only if the person is a vadai male or vadai female. And there's a machlokas if it even applies to a guy. Can I give the erech of LeBron James, for example? Is that considered to be something that's included in the parsha of erechin? Second chiluk between erechin and the darim is there's a machlokas tanoim if a guy could make an erechin vow. A guy can say, I'm going to give my value, my damim, to the Beis HaMikdash, but can a guy say, I'm going to give someone's erech to the Beis HaMikdash? That's a machlokas tanoim. So that's the second possible chiluk. Third possible chiluk is the how much money you give, like we mentioned before. Damim, you do it based on how much he's actually worth. Erechin, you do based on what the Torah tells you is the proper amount for that person. Fourth chiluk, let's say you say, I'm going to give the value of my right hand. So if it's a neder, you say, I'm going to give the damim, the value of my right hand. So then you have to look at how much the right hand is worth, meaning how much would the guy be worth with the hand, how much would the guy be worth without a hand, and that difference is what you give. But by erechin, an erech can only be on a person's entire body. If you say that I'm giving the erech of my head, or the erech of my right hand, or the erech of anything like that, then you have to give the erech. I'm sorry, if you say the erech of my head, so you can't live without a head, then you give the erech of the entire body. You say the erech of the hand, you don't give anything, because there is no erech of the hand, it's not the entire person. Erech is only when it's the entire person. Fifth chiluk is when something is nidar, is if something someone dies, so the person who is nadar or ne'erach dies. Let's say you say, I'm going to give the value of this person to Beis Din, and it turns out the person is dead. So the halacha is a dead person has no value, so there's no payment. But let's say the ne'erach dies, so if you already were mechayev yourself to pay his erech, as determined in the Torah, so you have to give that value even if he subsequently dies. And the final chiluk between erech and nedarim, and then we'll start the mesechta, is a person whose value changes between the time that you take the vow and the time that you pay up. So when it comes to a neder, to I'm going to give the damim, so you would give based on the time of the hamad bedin, the time that you're actually paying up, and Beis Din's evaluating it, not the time that you took the vow. But when you're dealing with, let's say, a person who was less than 20 years old when you took the erech vow, you said erechi or erech ploni alai, and then now he's worth more than, now he's older than 20 years old, so his erech changed, or let's say he was 60, he was 59, and then when you took the vow, and now he's 60, so his erech changed, went down a little bit, so you always give based on the time that you said the erech vow, not based on the time that you're actually giving it. That's similar to the halacha by the mace. We said that's why you give it even if the guy dies, because it was based on when you said the vow, not based on when you're giving the vow. That is a basic introduction to what erechin means. Having said that, the first couple of davim of our mesechta have absolutely nothing to do with erechin. It's pretty much a tour through Shas, and particularly through those mesechtas that we're probably most familiar with, those that have to do with Arachayim related issues. So let's see, new Mishnah. First Mishnah, Beis Amar Aleph. Hakol Ma'arichin V'Ne'arachin. Anyone, and the whole first two davim are going to be about that word Hakol. Every time that word Hakol appears in Shas, it's an inclusive term. It comes to tell me that there are more people than you think are included in this. So we have to figure out who is it coming to include that it doesn't mention. But Hakol Ma'arichin V'Ne'arachin. Anyone can say an Erechin vow, and anyone could be the subject of an Erechin vow. Nodin V'Nidarin. Anyone can say a neder vow, that I'm going to give the value of something to the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone can be the subject of a neder vow. That anyone includes Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, Nashim, Va'avadim, All of them are able to do Erechin, they're able to do Nidarim. Now, how does a Nasha, how does an Isha or an Evet pay up? They don't have any money. Kol Mash Kansi Isha Kana Baila, whatever a woman has, it's her husband's money. Whatever an Eved has, Kol Mash Kana Eved, Kana Rabbo. So it's the master's money. How do they pay up? So Rashi and Nashim Bavadim writes, Umishalm Lachazman Kishenes Garsha Isha Nishtachar Eved. They pay up when the woman gets divorced or when the Eved is freed. That's when they pay up. They can't pay up right now. Tulsus gives another suggestion. Maybe they pay someone gives them a gift and says, here, I'm giving this gift to this married woman, Almanas, that her husband has no rights to take the money. So then it's her money. Then the husband doesn't get the money. So she could pay off an Erech or a Neder vow with that money. But everyone is included in Nedarim and Erechin. However, Tumtum Vandrogonus, someone of either ambiguous genitalia or who has has both male and female, Nodrin V'Nidarin, they could take a Neder. Or you could take a neder about them. What does it mean, a neder? Their value. I can say, I'm going to give the value of that tumtum or the value of that androgynous. Why can I say that? Because they have value. Put them on the slave market, they'll be worth something. They're probably not going to be worth as much as a regular person, but they'll be worth something. Uma'arichan, and they could take an erech vow. They could say, an androgynous could say, I'm going to give the erech of this guy to the Beis HaMikdash. Avalon ne'erachin. But they can't be ne'erach. They can't have an erach vow taken about them. She'enu ne'erach ela azachar vadeh nekeva vadaiz. Because only a definite male or a definite female has an erach. Why? Because the Torah tells you the erach of each person. And it's all based on age and gender. So the Torah assumes that you have a gender. Either it's male or female. We wouldn't. The Torah doesn't give an erach for people who have ambiguous gender. Or no gender. Chereshot of a katan nidarin v'ne arachin avalo nodrin v'loma arichin. A chereshot of a katan could be the subject of an erech or a neder vow. Meaning, I could say I'm going to give the value or the erech of that cheresh, of that shota, of that katan. But if the cheresh, the shota, or the katan were to promise to give the value of somebody or something to the Beis HaMikdash, then it means nothing. Because they don't have das. And in order to take a neder or an erech vow, that was one of the similarities we mentioned in the Akdama, you need to have das. You need, and cheresh shota v'katan, we assume, have no das. Okay, so that's the mission. The mission is the hardest part of the first two daven. Says the Gemara, Hakol Ma'arichin Lasuye Mai. What does Hakol Ma'arichin come to include? It says Hakol, everybody. What do you mean everybody can be Ma'arich? Everyone can make an Erech vow. Lasuye Mufla Samach L'ish. It comes to include even a Mufla Samach L'ish, someone who's 12 years old in one day, so he's close to manhood, but he's not an Ish until he's maybe Shtei Saros, until he grows two hairs. So that's called a Mufla Samach L'ish. So that even he can be ma'arich. He's not considered a katan. Ne'erachin lasuyemai. When we say hakol ne'erachin, everyone could be the subject of an erech vow. Who are we coming to include? Lasuye menuvel umukashchin. We're assuming even a menuvel or a mukashchin, someone who has no actual value, someone who has some sort of what do they call it? The disease that's what do they call it? A disease you can catch. No, hey, I'm drawing a blank. A contagious disease, right? Someone has some sort of contagious disease that would never be worth anything. No one would want to get near him. He doesn't have any value, doesn't have any dummim, but what does he have? He has an erech. And therefore, you could give the erech of a menuvel or a muka shchin. Salkadaita chamida, amina, I might have thought, nadar ba'erkecha ksiv, kol sheyeshno b'dam yeshno ba'erechin, that only someone who has value has an erech, v'kol sheyeno b'dam meino ba'erechin, and someone who doesn't have any value shouldn't have an erech either. Kamash malan, that's why he comes to tell me, nefashos kaldehu. That nefashos, no, as long as the person is a living person and he fits one of the categories, male, female, certain age, you can give an erech. We're just doing the daf here. Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay. So says Gemara, Nodrin Lasuyemai. The Mishnah had said, how many times did the Mishnah say the word Hakol?
Once.
It only said it once. It said Hakol, Marichin, Nerachin, Nodrin, V'Nidarin. But we assume the word Hakol went on Hakol Marichin, Hakol Ne'arachin, Hakol Nodrin, Hakol. So we're asking why, what the word Hakol is coming to include for each of those statements. So Nodrin Lasuyemai, meaning Hakol Nodrin Lasuyemai. What do we say? What are we adding when we say that anyone could be Noder? So says the Gemara, nothing really. We're not adding anything with Hakol Nodrin. Nidarin, it's Rechlei. It's really the whole Chiddush is that Nidarin, that anyone could be the subject of a Neder. That's the big Chiddush. The Gemara says, okay, Nidarin Lasuyemai. What's the big Chiddush of Hakol Nidarin? Who are we including that you would not have thought that you can make the subject of a Neder, that you actually can? If you want to tell me that it comes to include a tumtum and an androgynous, well, the Mishnah said that explicitly. So that can't be what the word hakol is coming to add. That it said beferish in the Mishnah. If you want to tell me it's coming to include a cheirishat of a katan, well, guess what? Behedya katani lahu. It said that explicitly in the Mishnah also. So the word hakol can't be coming to include a cheirishat of a katan. If you want to tell me it applies to someone who's even less than 30 days old, it says that explicitly also. And if you want to tell me it comes to include a guy, well, same problem. Meaning all of the possibilities of what a kol could be coming to include, who could be the subject of a neder vow, when I say I'm going to give the value of that person to the Beis HaMikdash, all the possibilities are already covered explicitly in the Mishnah. So what's the extra word a kol coming to address? Says the Gemara, Li'olam, Lasuy Pachsim Ben Chodesh. It's coming to include someone who's less than 30 days old. But we already said, we already mentioned that. And we said, but it's Behedya Ketani Luhu. That was explicit. Well, Tani Vahadr Mefarish. Yeah, you're right, it's explicit. Sometimes the Mishnah will say something, and then we'll explain it. So we say that Hakol, everyone's included, and then we're explaining. Everybody? Yeah. Ben Pachos Ben Chodesh is included in everybody. And really, Rashi points out, it didn't have to say Pachos Ben Chodesh is what we're coming to include. It could have said Cheirishat of Katan, could have said any of the Ovid Kochav, any of the guys that we just mentioned. Right? Because once the Mishnah is explained, once we're saying that the Pshat is, that they're all just explained in the Mishnah itself, so it's anyone who's explicit in the Mishnah that we may not have realized is included in being the subject of a Neder, is in fact included. Period. Now we move on to the rest of Shas. Every other time it says the word Hakol. Every other time it says the word Hakol in Shas. What's it coming to include? So the Gemara says, well, let's take a tour through Shas. Hakol Samchan Lasuyemai. Everyone can do Smicha. Who's that coming to include? Who's everybody that can do Smicha? Says Gemara Lasuy Yoresh. To come to include, even if, let's say, a person's father owned a karban, and before he got a chance to bring it, he died, so his son yarshins the karban, the son is allowed to do smicha as well. Udalok Rabbi Yehuda, which is against Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, because Rabbi Yehuda holds a yorish cannot do smicha. Okay, next. Hakol memirin lasuyemai. Anyone can do tamura. Tamura is when you exchange the kedusha of one animal, you try to exchange it onto another animal. The thing is, it doesn't work. If you have an animal that's kadosh, and you try to exchange it onto that kedusha onto another animal, you just mess yourself up, because now they're both kadosh. So that's called tamura. But tamura is exchanging the kedusha. Who has the ability to transfer the kedusha onto another animal, or to extend the kedusha is a better way to say it, because it doesn't actually get transferred, it's just extended onto another animal. Who has the ability to do that? Hakol. So what does that come to include? Lasuya Yoresh. Again, that a Yoresh could even do it. Udalok Rabbi Yehuda, which is against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks a Yoresh cannot do it. Detanya, Yoresh Somech, Yoresh Meimar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yoresh Eino Somech, Yoresh Eino Meimar. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds these things? We have a Braisa. Tanakhama says a Yoresh can do Smicha, a Yoresh can do Tamura. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't. Okay, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think Yoresh cannot do smicha or tamura? So karbano, pasuk says karbano. You do smicha on his karban, velo karban aviv, and not the karban. We darshan your karban, not your father's karban. You can't do smicha on your father's karban. The yalif tchilas hegdish misof hegdish. And if that's true about smicha, which is done at the end when you're actually being makar of the animal, it will be true about giving an animal kedusha in the first place also, which is tamura. When you do tamura is when you're giving animal kedusha in the first place, so it's true in that case as well. Mas sof hegdish yoresh eino somech, just like at sof hegdish, which is smicha, a yoresh can't do it. Avtchilas hegdish yoresh eino meimar. So too at the beginning of hegdish, meaning tamura, a yoresh also can't do. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda gets the idea that a yoresh is not allowed to do any of these things. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan will say, Hamer Yamir, L'rabos, it's a Yoresh. No, we have a pasuk that has a double lashon when it describes tumura, so it must be telling me why the double lashon that even a yoresh is allowed to do tumura. And if a yoresh is allowed to do tumura, we're going to figure the yoresh is also going to be allowed to do smicha. Matchila segdish yoresh meimar. Just like at the beginning, the yoresh can do tumura. Af sofegdish yoresh somech. So yoresh can do smicha as well. Okay, good. So now that we have a source for Rabbi Yehuda and a source for the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda's source is the word karbano. The Rabbanan source is the words hamer yamir. Now the next step of the Gemara is always going to be, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbanan's source? What does Rabbanan do with Rabbi Yehuda's source? Good. For Rabbanan, hi karbano, my avodai. What does the Rabbanan do with the word karbano? So mi bayale karbano v'lo karbano v'chachavim. They needed to teach me that you don't do smicha on a karban of a goy. Karbano v'lo karban chavero. Or that you don't do smicha on the karban of your friend. If it's not your karban, you can't do smicha on it. Karbano l'rabos kol bali chovrin l'smicha. And also to tell me, let's say five guys share a karban together, that all five need to do smicha on the karban. All the bali chovrin need to do smicha. It says the word karbano three times. That's why we make three separate drushas from the word karbano. They use the words karbano to teach me those three drushas. Now, there is a Gemara, Maseches Menachos, that tells us that smicha cannot be done al yidei a shliach. So smicha can't even be done al yidei a shliach. Do we really need a drasha to tell me that smicha can't be done by somebody else, by chavero, by your friend, if he's not even your shliach? You can't even make your shliach, allow your shliach to do smicha. Of course you can't have your friend do smicha. So Tosus Dibur Maskel Karbano asked that kasha, and Tosus writes, Yeshlomar ilav karbano amina diyado l'mu'ute chavero asa aval shlucha somech. Without the word karbano, you're right. With only one drasha, I would have said that that your friend can't do smicha, and I would have thought your shliach can. We need two drashas. One to teach me that your friend can't do smicha. That's the first step. Once I learn that an outsider can't do smicha, the next drasha is there to teach me that even your shliach can't do smicha. Frek tells us a bomb kasha. He says, wait a second. If we see from this drasha that you're not allowed to make a shliach to do smicha for you, so why don't we learn from here to Kalata Rakula that there's no such din as shlichus, that ein shlucha kamosa. Meaning, how do we know shlucha shladim kamosa? So it's a whole sugya meseches. There's a whole sugya about the kiddushin in a number of places about shlucha shladim kamosa, right? And there's one place in the Torah, wherever it might be, machlokes in the Gemara, one place in the Torah where it tells us the din of shlichus, and we assume, oh, it says it there, it must apply, binyanav to Kalata Rakula. Why don't we say there's one place in the Torah over here where it says you can't do a shliach? Binyanav, l'kol ha-terukula, that there should be no such thing as shlichus. Who told us that there has to be such a din called shlichus? So he says, Tosa says, because there are three distinct places in the Torah, smicha, yevama, and egla arufa, where we have drushas to tell me that there's no din of shlichus. And whenever you have it written in three different places, it's what we call shlosha ksuvan abayin kechad. Shlosha ksuvan abayin kechad ein melamdin. You can't learn when the Torah has three distinct places where it tells you that over here there's no shlichus, that's the Torah telling you that those three places are actually exceptions to the rule, they aren't the rule. If it was the rule, the Torah would have only said it in one place, and I would have known to apply it everywhere else. The fact that the Torah says it in three places teaches you ein melamdin, that's the exception to the rule, that's not the rule. Okay, back in the Gemara. So, karbano v'lo karban chavero, karbano l'rabos kol bali chuvrin l'smicha. Fine, that's what the Rabbanu do with the word karbano. Rabbi Yehuda, l'rabos kol bali chuvrin l'smicha leslei. And Rabbi Yehuda would just respond, I don't agree that there's a din that all the people who own the karban have to do smicha. I don't agree with that halacha. I don't think it's true. I think if one member of the party who owns that karban does smicha, that's good enough. V'inami islay, and even if Rabbi Yehuda holds that that all five guys do have to do the smicha, ovid kochavim v'chaveru michad kranafki. The fact that the carbon of a guy and that someone who's not the owner of the carbon can't do smicha should be learned from one pasuk, from one carbono. You shouldn't need two separate carbonos to teach that. Ayasri lehutrei, which leaves over two other carbonos. Chad the carbono of a low carbon aviv, one to tell me his carbon, not his father's carbon. V'idach l'rabos kol bali chuvrin l'smicha, and the other one tell me that all members of the party, all members who own the karban, have to do smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I still have a karbano free to teach me, not karban aviv, that a yorish doesn't do smicha. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda would address how the Rabbanan use karbano. Now the Gemara says, okay, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with Rabbanan's pasuk though? Rabbi Yehuda, hi Hamer Yamir, my Avaday. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with Hamer Yamir? Hamer Yamir sounds like everybody's allowed to do Tzemura and everybody's allowed to do Smicha, including a Yoresh, that even a Yoresh is allowed to do these things. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that? Rabbi Yehuda holds Yoresh is not allowed to do these things. So Mibayle the Rabbi Sisi Isha, he uses it to include an Isha, that even an Isha is allowed to do smicha, and isha is allowed to do tzmura. D'tanya l'fisha kol inyan eino medaber el b'lashon zachar. The whole parsha about tzmura is written in the masculine. So masafinu l'rabel sasa isha. So how do we derive that a woman is also allowed to do tzmura? Tamalom ravim hamer yamir. Because that's why the pasuk says hamer yamir double lashon to include even an isha. Tosfos raises the obvious point that the entire Torah is written b'lashon zachar, and yet we still assume a woman is included in pretty much, I mean, most of the Torah, the mitzvah shazman grama. Okay, it's a strong kasha. Rabbanan mi ve'im, and the Rabbanan will say, no, the fact that a woman could do tamura, I learned from the word ve'im. I don't need Hamer Yamir for that. Rabbi Yehuda, ve'im lo darish. Rabbi Yehuda says that ve'im, I don't think, is enough of a word to make a drasha out of. So I need Hamer Yamir to teach me that a woman can do tamura. Period. Now, next hakol. Now it gets more familiar territory for us, for those who haven't learned kachim before. Some of us have learned kachim, others have not. So those who haven't learned kachim before, now we get to more familiar territory. Hakol chayavin besukkah, lasu yemai. It says everyone's chayavin sukkah. So who does that come to include? Who's everybody? So lasu yemai katan sheino tzarech limo. Comes to include a katan who's at the stage where he's eino tzarech limo, which means he's how old? He doesn't cry out during his sleep, ima ima, right? That was what the Gemara in Sukkah did. Tznan, katan sheyedin tzarech limo, chayiv b'sukkah. Katan no longer needs his mother, is chayiv in sukkah. Again, everybody needs their mother. It means a katan doesn't cry out for his mother in the middle of the night, is chayiv in sukkah. Hakol chayiv in belulav lasu yemai. When it says hakol chayiv in belulav, who does that come to include? Who's chayiv in lulav? Comes to include a katan who knows how to do the na'anuim, who knows how to do the wavings of the lulav. Not so simple. Some complicated halachos about the na'anuim. So if he knows how to do the na'anuim properly, then he's old enough for lulav. Ditnan, katan yadei l'na'anua, l'na'anea, chayev b'lulav. A katan knows how to do the waving of the lulav is chayev and lulav. Hakol chayev mitzitzis lasu yemai. When we say that everyone's chayev and tzitzis, who does that come to include? Lasuya katan yadei l'satev. Comes to include a katan who knows how to do atifa on his tzitzis. Titania katan yadei l'satev, chayiv b'tzitzis. A katan knows how to do atifa, who knows how to wrap himself in tzitzis. At that age, he's already chayiv in tzitzis. Someone just asked me last week that a three-year-old kid who wears tzitzis, and the kid can't keep his tzitzis kosher. They keep on ripping, all the strings keep on ripping. Said, is it a problem to leave the kid in tzitzis? I didn't think so. Kid's not chayiv in tzitzis anyway. He could wear dalet kanfos without tzitzis. Only when he's yodea lehisatev is it going to be chayiv in tzitzis. There's no way that he's yodea lehisatev. Now, if you look at Tosfos, hakol chayiv b'tzitzis, says Tosfos, im yeshlem talis. If you happen to have a four-cornered garment, you chayiv in tzitzis. But you don't have to go and buy a four-cornered garment. Vim lo yuchal liknos talis, ein chayiv. If you can't buy a four-cornered garment, so you're not chayiv. Even if you hold that talus, he says lo leman yomer chavas talus, lo leman yomer chavas gavra. It's a machlokas whether it's chiv on the beged or chiv on the person. He says, but that's only if you're klei kufsa. That machlokas is only if you have, let's say, a four cornered garment in your closet. Doesn't need to have tzitzis on it. Is it only on the person when I'm wearing it, or the fact that I own a four cornered garment? But if you don't even own a four cornered garment, then everyone would agree it's pata from tzitzis. So Tosfos quotes the famous Gemara Menachos that if a person doesn't get it, tries to get out of doing the mitzvah of tzitzis by not wearing a four-cornered garment at all, that God's going to punish him in times of anger. So shouldn't you have to go out of your way to buy a four-cornered garment? Tosfos says an unbelievable chiddush, which you really have to be careful when you say it to high school kids. Tosfos says that idea of God getting angry at you for not wearing tzitzis is only when normal clothing had four corners. Everyone went around wearing a snuggie. It was normal clothing, had four corners. Then God will get angry when you dafka round off one of the corners to not put tzitzis on it. But if nobody wears four-cornered clothing anyway, so you don't buy yourself four-cornered garment, God doesn't get angry about that. You're just doing what normal people do. That's Tosis Chiddush in Divrei Maskil Hakol Chayavim Betzitzis. What does it mean Yodei L'Satev? So Tosis writes that it's referring to Atifas Yishmeelim, which is a certain wrap around the head that the Yishmeelim would do. And then he says Umatzasi. He writes that he found that Rabbi Yosef Tov Ilem No Saint Tzitzis Echon Milafana VeEchon Milaachrav Miyamin VeChein L'Smol. He would have make sure that there's one tzitzis in front, one in the back on his right side, and one in the front, one in the back on the left side. Meaning, no scarf tzitzis. You know the talisim that they wear sometimes, you see like in the conservative shuls or whatever, that they wear like a scarf? No, you would have one in the front, one in the back. Dafka makbid, this is the marmakom, this is the taisus, the dafka makbid, to have one in the front and one in the back. Let's see weiter. Hakol chayavim betfilin, back in the Gemara, lasuyemai. Everyone's chayavim tefillin. Who does that come to include? Who's everybody? Lasuye katan, ayodeh, lishmar tefillin. It comes to include a katan who knows how to protect tefillin and treat tefillin properly. Detaini, because we have a brisa. Katan, ayodeh, lishmar tefillin. Aviv, lokeach lo tefillin. A child who knows how to guard his tefillin, so his father has to buy him tefillin. Notice it's different. Over here it says lokeach lo, the father buys him. By tzitzis, we didn't say the father buys him tzitzis. But none of the other ones, we don't say buy by any of the father buys him a sukkah, we didn't say any of that. Over here it's father buys him tefillin. So Tosas discusses why we would use such a lashon. So he says because by tzitzis we assume he has clothing, so it's just a matter of putting strings on the corners. There's no major buying that has to be done. By lulav also, you don't need to buy him a lulav. If you want your child to be also in the midst of lulav, what can you do? Give him yours. Let him use your lulav. So he doesn't have to buy. Okay, taking it back is an issue on the first day. So you do it first and then give it to him. And the second day, there's no requirement of lechem anymore anyway. But tefillin, he can't borrow because tefillin you got to wear all day. So when are you going to give it to him? You need to be wearing tefillin all day. Our minhag is we only wear it during Shacharis. And if you go to Netivari and Mincha as well. But in most places, only in Shacharis. So nevertheless, so Tosa says, or tefillin is the main yikarim. Tefillin is very expensive. That's why we emphasize the buying. Because you buy tzitzis for whatever it is, $10. Tefillin, you're paying $1,000. So that's why we emphasize the fact that the father's buying him tefillin. Also notice, the Brisker Rav points out over here in Erechin, that in all of these mitzvos, when we talk about a katan doing these mitzvos, at what age a katan has to do these mitzvos, we never say as soon as he's able to be mekayim the mitzvah. Tefillin is as soon as the tefillin could go on his head, he could be mekayim the mitzvah. Since as soon as he could wear them, he could be mekayim the mitzvah. Atifa is not required to be mekayim the mitzvah. We don't say as soon as he could be mekayim sukkah, just go in the sukkah, he could be mekayim the mitzvah. But no, he's not chayv chinuch, the Biskarov points out, until he could do the mitzvah bishle musa, until he could do the mitzvah in its best form. Only once he's able to do it in his best form, that's when chinuch starts for that mitzvah. Hakol chayavim beri'ya lasuyimai. When we say everyone's chayav to be olo l'regel, who does that come to include? Lasuyim misha chetziyav v'chetziyav ben choron. Comes to include someone who's half slave, half free man. Let's say two guys bought a slave in partnership together, and one of them freed him and the other one didn't. So now the guy is left being a half slave, half free man. Ulu ravina dam misha chetziyav v'chetziyav ben choron patam in eri'ya lasuyay chigar b'yom rishon nespashi b'yom sheni. And according to Ravina, who holds that a chetziyav v'chetziyav ben choron does not have to do aliyah l'regel, so then who's it coming to include? It's coming to include someone who was crippled on the first day of Yontif, so he was not chayiv in aliyah l'regel on the first day because he was crippled, but then he got better on the second day of Yontif, so that even he is chayiv to be olo l'regel on the second day. So it says, that works very well if you hold that each day of Yontif is its own brand new chiyuv of Re'iyah. So if he was crippled on the first day, he's not pata forever, he's just pata from the first day's chiyuv, but the second day he's going to be chayiv. But what if you hold that the real chiyuv is only on the first day? And if you're pata on the first day, you're done, you don't have to go at all. So then, what's it coming to include? Certainly someone who was crippled on the first day is going to be pater entirely. So who are we saying is hakol, that they're chayiv in ri'iyah? Lasuye suma ba'achz me'enav. Comes to include someone who's blind in one eye. Uduloki aitana, to tell me against what the following Tana says. Titania Yochan Mendava Yomer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Yochan Mendava says the name Rabbi Yehuda, Suma Ba'achz Me'enav, Pater Min Ri'iyah. Someone who's blind in one eye is pater from Ri'iyah. Shneamar Yira Yira'eh. Kederek shebaliros kach baliraos. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you, that's the same way you see the Mikdash, so too you are to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maliros b'shteinav, afliros b'shteinav. Just like God sees you, obviously, with two einayim, because God has the full capacity to see, so too, when you come to do your re'iyah, your aliyah l'regel, to do your re'iyah of the Beis HaMikdash, it has to dafka be b'shteinav, with the full capacity of two eyes. So we're saying, not like that, Tana. When we say hakol, that everyone does re'iyah, we're saying that even if you're blind in one eye, you would still do re'iyah against that Tana. V'ibayisema, or maybe we could suggest, maybe we are coming to include someone who's half slave, half free man. Aye, but we already rejected that because of the kakashalach, the Ravina. We said, but Ravina holds that such a person is pater from re'iyah. So how could you say that we're coming to include a half slave, half free man? Look, Kasha, kan b'mishna rishona, kan b'mishna achrona. At some point, the Tanaim changed their mind about that, about a half-slave, half-free man, whether he has to do re'iyah or not. So, how so? The Tanan, famous Gemara, this Gemara, it's a mission in Adios, really, and this appears in Mesechs Bab Basra. When you learn Mesechs Bab Basra, there's a major sugya there. Mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. If someone is half-slave, half-free man, Ovid is Rabbi Yom Echad, Ves Atzmo Yom Echad, Divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says he serves the master for one day, and he serves himself one day, meaning he shows up to work 3 days a week instead of 6 days a week, if he's half-slave, half-free man, because half, he's free, he can do his own stuff. Amalim Beshame says, that's great, Tikantam is Rabbo. You figured it all out for the master, how the master is going to get half of the work out of this guy, but Ves Atzmo Lo Tikantam. But you didn't help this guy, this poor guy. His life is going to be miserable. Why is his life going to be miserable? Lisa Shivcha Enu Yachal. He can't marry a Shivcha. Why can't he marry a Shivcha? Because once a slave is freed, what does he become?
Jewish.
A Jew. So he can't marry a Shivcha because he's half a Jew. Lisa Enu Yachal. Baschorin Enu Yachal. He can't marry a regular Jewish girl. Why? Because half a week, he's a slave. And a slave can't marry a Baschorin. He's never Kanani. Can't marry a regular Jewish girl. So who's he going to marry? Nobody. Yevatel. What, he just won't have a family? The world was created for Puruvu. He's not going to be able to engage in Puruvu. Shenemar, lo sovra, lo shevis yitzar. God didn't create the world to be desolate. He created the world to be lived in. Elam ibn tikuna olam, rather, says Beis Shammai, you know what you should do? For tikuna olam, just to keep the world running the way it should be run, kofenes rabba va'ososa ben charun, we force the master to free him, make it the master who's left, the one that owns half him, frees him, because if shtar al chati damav, and the eved will write a shtar that he owes the master half of his value for being freed. So Beis Hillel heard that from Beis Shammai. This is in the Perek in Edios, where it lists all the times in Shas that Beis Hillel changed their mind to agree to Beis Shammai. And this is one of the examples, this is the most famous example probably. V'chazr Beis Hillel, lahoros k'divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel changed their mind and they agreed to Beis Shammai. So, when we say that someone who's chatzi yev chatzi ben chorin is pater from re'iyah, we're assuming like the original version of Beis Hillel, that that's a sustainable option of being a chatzi yev chatzi ben chorin. So say, okay, that guy is pater from re'iyah. When we say he's chayiv in re'iyah, we're assuming like Beis Hillel's conclusion that it's not a sustainable thing. You can't leave a guy as a chatzi ben chorin. You need to take care of it. He's going to be chayiv in re'iyah. You know why? Because you're going to free him, and he's going to be a free man, and then he's going to be chayiv in re'iyah like every other Jew. Hakol chayiv mitkiya shofar lasuye mai. When we say everyone's chayiv mitkiya shofar, who's everybody? Lasuye katan shigiel chinuch comes to include even a katan who's higiel chinuch, who's at the age of chinuch already. Detnan ein ma'ak v'nesa katan militkoa biyom tov. As we learned in the Mishnah, you don't stop a katan from blowing shofar on yantiv because it is a mitzvah for him as well. So he's chayiv in tkiya shofar as well. Let's do one more line. Hakol chayiv b'mikra megillah. Hakol ksherin likros es haMegillah lasuye mai. We say that everyone's chayiv in Megillah. Everyone's chayiv to read the Megillah. Who does that come to include? Lasuye nashim. That comes to include women. Ukud Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Nashim chayavos b'mikra Megillah. Shafein hayibosa anes. Comes to include women, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that even women are included in Megillah because of afein hayu ba'osa anes. Tosus quotes the famous sheet of the Bahag that the Bahag says that women are only chayiv in shmias haMegillah, not a mikra Megillah, and therefore a woman cannot be motzi a man in Megillah. A woman can only be motzi other women in Megillah. That's what Tosas writes. Lekach tzarich lefarish mikan de'in anoshim motzi in el anoshim. Aval anoshim lo. Women cannot be motzi men. Va'kol chayavim b'mikra megillah lasu yinoshim shemotziim noshim acheros. That's all it means. That women could be motzi other women, but not that they could ever be motzi a man in mikra megillah. That is Erech and Daf Beis. Okay, we'll stop there.